You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. A weekend that you'll get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, you will get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans on Monday and Wednesdays from 7 to 9. On Thursday, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening. Brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern. On Sunday, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then at 7 p.m. on Sunday, it's time for an awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah, last day of African and American African History Month. Yeah. African and American African History Month. And see, reason why I put emphasis on that is because at least this month of February, which Carter G. Woodson understood way back then, 1926, I can't wait till next year. We can celebrate 100 years of what Carter G. Woodson established. But we also can celebrate. See, that's the beauty of this situation here. Before I read the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. That's the beauty of this, because it's also the same year that Drusilla Dungy Houston wrote her book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Great Kushite Empire. See, that's why the emphasis is on African and American African History Month. Because if we just focus on Negro History Week
Or, and I ain't putting nothing disparaging on what Carter G. Woodson established and the words that were used, please. But we just focus in on what happened to our, to what happened to us in captivity. And then the things that, that we did and so forth, you know, from that point. No, we need to look at the history of African people in its totality. From us really birthing the, really birthing humanity and creating civilizations and technology from ancient times to the present. We need to focus on the history of our people, period. So that's why I'm adamant about what we do and how we do it. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. February 27th. Whoever is unconcerned with his lineage has lost his mind. Whoever neglects his origin, his stupidity has become critical. Whoever is unaware of his ancestry, his incompetence has become immense. 15th century Timbuktu poem. We have to understand Timbuktu, the great university, one of the first in the world, the University of Sankore in Mali, Timbuktu. We are a learned people. We have to stop equating the idea of what is modern with that of progress. The changes people produce over time to enhance their knowledge, comfort, and sense of security are primarily technological in nature, i.e. simply different ways of doing what has always needed to be done. They are not changing what needs to be done, only how what needs to be done. Technology is technology. When it comes to technology, the true measure of importance is the spirit of its application. We have to stop creating erroneous parallels between the idea of advanced technology and the so-called Western genius, making them necessarily one and the same. And we have to overcome our fixation on modern, as if it's anything other than a haughty Eurocentric temporal designation. And if it is anything other than a Eurocentric word, we have to stop equating the contemporary world order with a liberating, progressive, superior, and the past with a stifling, regressive, inferior. Affirm, I am a carrier of African cultural technology. Ashe. Affirm, I am a carrier of African cultural technology. February 28th. There is no better way to mourn for a fallen and honored soldier than to pick up the fallen weapon. There is no better way to mourn a fallen and honored soldier than to pick up the fallen weapon. David Indaba. The elder whose face graces the cover of my book, Shay, is Nana Kwame Ahmed Abdullah. He was an African man of great power, of great wisdom, of great resilience. And as with any of our great men, he demanded more of himself than others, knowing that wisdom is a responsibility to be modeled, and that love and trust, no matter how deep and enduring, must be continually demonstrated and earned. One of my teachers, he was extremely well-read and wise. I sat and still sit at his feet, a devoted neophyte. His focus was ambiguous. There was no confusion. His demands of other warriors were the same. He simply commanded that we follow the timeless tradition of the genius of our ancestors and love family, build community, and defend nation. For him, there were no other priorities. Pan-African nationalism was the only reality he recognized as having any validity for African people. Let me read that again. For him and myself and many of us and the many of us who understand this, there is no other priorities. Pan-African nationalism is the only reality that we should recognize as having any validity for African people. It was not a complicated thought. It is our truth. With his transition, as with that of other warrior scholars who uncompromisingly stood on our front lines on this plane, each of us must take on the additional responsibility of their work. Without faltering, without jeopardizing what we already are doing, each of us takes on that friction and that faction of work that our departed warrior did so that the circle remains unbroken. This is the way of African people. In time and space, we are an army. We are one. Affirm, my arsenal increases with every fallen soldier. Ashe. Affirm, my arsenal increases with every fallen soldier. To keep it on point, February 29th. Truth tellers are always palatable, but there is a preference for candy bars. Gwendolyn Brooks, the honor poet, the honorable poet Gwendolyn Brooks. Although there is a thin line between Negroes and lost souls, there is a distinct difference. Negroes are like cattle who follow anyone with the power, stampeding at the slightest threat to their illusionary security. Lost souls, on the other hand, are like sheep who wander around the political battlefield, careful not to step near any landmines and shying away from those who accidentally or consciously do. Their defense against awareness is a shudder and hide, is to scatter and hide. While their mindsets toward African warriors is relatively the same, the Negroes' drive to act on that mindset against them is quite different. Negroes actively work to harm. Let me repeat. Negroes actively work to harm revolutionary Africans in the interests of their European masters. While lost souls simply blend themselves into the safety of the status quo. Negroes know what they're doing against us and are consciously committed to it. They psychologically and materially profit from the death of our warrior scholars. Blind fear closes their eyes to the fact that to be marked as a traitor to one's own people is the most disgraceful designation one can receive. Let me repeat. Blind fear closes their eyes to the fact that to be marked as a traitor to one's own people is the most disgraceful designation one can receive. Lost souls, on the other hand, are black folks who are just surviving with little or no conscious malice. Lost souls simply cower. For them, it is only logical to go with the flow. Wandering around in search of divine acceptance through forgiving and cleansing the sins of other people in their primitive and prime directive. That is their prime directive. They don't think to act at all. Affirm, I am neither a Negro nor a lost soul. Ashe. Affirm, I am neither a Negro or lost soul. March 1st. Blessed are those who struggle. Oppression is worse than the grave. It is better to live for a noble cause than to live and die as a slave. The last poets, family. I think just a little bit of commentary before I get off into the narrative. The last poets, I think, did something for us in the late 60s, early 70s, for sure. It was instrumental in raising that consciousness. Love the last poets. Nation building starts with individuals and their families develop their knowledge base and talents and join with others like individual families. From these, increasingly larger extended families, communities will form. So like-minded people, nation building, like-minded people, more like-minded people, and people who are committed, who are sincere, who are dedicated, who will not falter, who will not backslide. For these increasingly large extended families, communities will form because we recognize the immensity of our struggle to regain ourselves as African people and the forces which quickly materialize against any highly visible, undeveloped, massive nation-building effort. We know that we must start small and sure. We recognize that public advertising, mass organizing, loud voices, and flamboyancy have done little but serve individual egos and set us up as easy targets for imperialistic predators. Therefore, we know that if we are to be successful in this critical endeavor, we must quietly do the work of building the foundation of a nation that will close ranks gradually over the coming generations. It is no secret that this will be difficult struggle. It is no secret that it will be difficult. Yes, it will be a very difficult struggle. The wisdom of African teaches, the wisdom of Africa teaches us that when a stick is bent too far in one direction, it will have to be bent even further in the other direction in order for it to be game or in order for it to become straight again. So if we are to do this right, then we must value the lessons that come through the weight of many generations it will take to turn our families back into the nation. Affirm, I am an intrepid nation builder. Affirm, Ashe, I am an intrepid nation builder. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sisim of daily revolutionary thought, the wisdom of daily revolutionary thought. Family, what's up? What's happening? Yeah. Monday, I'm a guest. Brother Jamoke and Fateo. And many people know that Brother Jamoke, who now lives in Florida, was with the NCOBRA, National Coalition for Blacks for Reparations in America. We will talk about reparations, but the main focus is going to be on Selma. This is the 60th anniversary of the March on Selma, 1965, Bloody Sunday. They got that beat down. Me and my good friend, Brother Johnny Miller, when I first moved here back in 2014, so 2015, gave me a call. He came down and stayed with me, and we went to Selma. We drove a car. We drove his car to Selma. And, we participated in the festivities of knowing what happened at Bloody Sunday. Went to Brown's Chapel, which is a block from the main street that leads you to the Edmund Pettus Bridge. I don't know why they don't want to change the name from that racist ass Edmund Pettus, who was a Klansman. You know, but hey, you know, this is America. And that's what America is, family. And that's who they are. That's why, to me, in my Pan-African idea, my Pan-African spirit, get the hell up out of this madness. And you see what's going on now, don't you? Yep. Mm-hmm. These son of a bitches have emboldened themselves. 10 years ago, me and Brother Johnny Miller went to Selma to participate in the commemoration of the 50th anniversary. Barack Obama and many others led a march right down the street at Selma, big crowd. I had a chance to see many people Me and Brother Daniel and Johnny Miller. It's a good man. That's a good brother, man. We stayed at the hotel. Actually, we stayed at a motel and drove to the big hotel where many of the so-called dignitaries were staying at. Had the chance to see Jesse and his wife at the time. Dick Gregory. Sat down and talked with Dick Gregory. Yeah. Tony Broder. Saw Tony Broder. Spoke with him. Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah. And so I was, you know, when you approach Edmund Pettus Bridge and, you know, you don't see at the bottom of the bridge, because at the beginning of the Edmund Pettus Bridge from the church onto that street, it's a, you know, incline. And then you start to go over. And at the bottom, you see what's happening. That's where the police and so forth were waiting for the brothers and sisters to march down that hill to a beat down. Whoever was going to march down that hill, men, women, children, whatever, were going to get a beat down. I can, you know, that part that Oprah Winfrey played, that sister that got that beat down in the movie Selma. Yeah. And so there's commemorations, there's plaques all around. And so I'm reading one plaque, and down the street comes, I don't know if you know Rance Priebus. Rance Priebus was the Republican chair of Wisconsin, the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Republican chair of Wisconsin. And I was on a radio program with this asshole, you know, so I don't give a damn. But he's on TV consistently, particularly on ABC, which I watch all the time, Stephanopoulos, George Stephanopoulos, ABC. Sundays, on Sundays, and a lot of times going back and forth, you know, with my good sister, she'd be holding it down. And he's coming down with three young people, two American Africans and a Caucasian. And so I'm down there and I see him. I said, "Oh, Rance Priebus," and he was shocked. You know, I didn't tell him who I am, but I just said, "I'm from Milwaukee, I'm from Wisconsin." Ah. You know. And I said to him, "You know, this is kind of disingenuous of you considering the, you know, what the Republican Supreme Court did to gut voting rights, that you're here." No. And the two American Africans looked down, you know. But, yeah. So that was my Bloody Sunday experience, or my Selma experience. What really bothered me, and what I've been told too, what really bothered me riding around Selma, it still looked like 1950, family. Really. Still looked like 1950. Or 1965. 1965. So, we're going to talk about that on Monday with Brother Jamoke. Yeah, Brother Jamoke is a good brother. In fact, I seen him at Tulsa, the 100th commemoration of the massacre of what happened. You know, yeah, seen him at the massacre. Yeah, Brother Jamoke Ifateo. We're gonna talk today about the blackout. Yeah, the blackout. I'm quite sure you heard about it, and it's going around. It's gone around, And one of the things, you know, consumers are planning a one-day economic blackout, which is today. It's today. But there's a lot of other stuff. So yesterday I went shopping and I'm observing the blackout, you know, because I try to shop at American African stores to begin with, you know. I'd love for us to have a supermarket. I did go to one yesterday. I was, you know, I remember being promoted, but I didn't remember where, but I know it's in an area that I'm familiar with, and I wish I would have known sooner, but still, I went there and bought a few things, and I'm just keeping it real, family, because we don't support, and it, you know, it's just like Milwaukee, a shopping area, an entertainment area was built, for those who are familiar with Milwaukee, on 6th and Walnut Street. 6th and Walnut Street. On the northwest corner. On the northwest corner. And it was a supermarket, a bowling alley, a nightclub, Masterpiece Motor Lodge. Yeah, that's right. They had a little motel there and a liquor store. The liquor store was independent. The motor lodge was independent. The big building with the offices and the bowling alley and the nightclub and that was in. And once again, for me, in my development as a man, I gravitated to doing for self. I gravitated to supporting each other. And I fell in love with being who I am at that time, being black. But also understanding we African. And so we didn't support it. It was competitive, from my understanding. We didn't support it. It failed within a few years. I never forget, because I would go to that store, that supermarket, and I seen it shrink from a supermarket to like a convenience store or even a corner store where they had to partition it off. So finally, it was done. The Masons took the building over, that part. The Salvation Army took the motor lodge over to assist in sheltering people, particularly families, at the motor lodge. The liquor stores still remained when that failed. Yeah, that's right, family. The liquor store. Even the liquor store failed, but remained empty. Well, that's come to life because the design of that program is Brother Kim Robinson's father. Design. I didn't know until later, Brother Kim Robinson, a former police officer and photographer. Kim would provide pictures to a couple of the black newspapers, the Milwaukee Community Journal and the Milwaukee Courier. And his father was an architect. And his father also designed the fire department building. Yeah. But he designed the one, and so there's an issue because the Salvation Army wants to tear down the liquor store, you know, but they want to preserve the whole situation. And so there's a move, and it's not against, you know, housing the people, but they want to, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Yeah. But yeah, man, it's like that. See, what we don't understand as African people here in this country, as American Africans, what we don't understand as American Africans, what has happened to our minds to create such self-hatred and envy and distrust that we don't support one another, that we don't share with one another, that we don't love one another. And a lot of these things, I'm told, and if Brother Ralph is listening, or anybody else from the Philadelphia area, what Reverend Dr. Leon Sullivan created in Philadelphia was the same type of situation, a mall area with American African stores and so forth. Is that still happening? Is it still going strong? All other places where these things have happened have not fared well because why? We didn't support them. Even if we paid a few bucks more, we must support them. I'm looking at Black Wall Street here in Atlanta. The idea of it outstanding, and the fact that Atlanta is a huge metropolitan area. I've said it many times, and I'll say it right here, right now, right quick. The city of Atlanta is small, only 600,000 people. The area of Atlanta is small, but the metropolitan area of Atlanta is huge, 6 million people. And we are over here, 5 different counties. Most of Atlanta is in Fulton County, and then DeKalb County, and then Cobb County, and then Gwinnett, and then Clayton. All have a little piece of the city of Atlanta. And east of Atlanta, off of I-20, Interstate 20, east of Atlanta, is the new Black Wall Street, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Go 3 lights, make a right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market, a former Target. And when they open to all the expectations, many of the stores that were there, they're gone. People couldn't afford to stay. It is a shell. And I'm just keeping it real. I want to accentuate the positive, and I know, and I hope that Mama Nabantu, who does a lot of good work at the new Black Wall Street Market, will understand and the struggle that they have at the new Black Wall Street Market. We've had Kwanzaa there for the last few years. It's been an honor for me to do libation and make presentation. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's not happening. It's not happening. I went there recently and all of the there was only one food vendor happening. So, just like Six and Walnut in Milwaukee and others, I'm not sure who all listens to this program. I'm not. I've been told that the numbers aren't bad. They're not bad. They're not great, of course, maybe. But if there's an area in your city that is owned by us, and all of the vendors, all of the stores, you know, it's just like just recently there was a disturbance.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
There was a disturbance in Milwaukee some years ago based upon a cop killing. And they tore up a number of things. And one of the things was this bank located right in the Angle Street and three busy streets, Fond du Lac Avenue, Burleigh, and 35th Street. And the bank was destroyed. Well, they turned that into a place where businesses can thrive and flourish, hopefully. Well, that's not happening. My niece even had a boutique in there, and she closed it after so many years. Man, our willingness to, and our, to spend money with those outside of communities is just sickening. As opposed to saying, I'm just trying to keep our dollars where they need to be, where they should be, with each other. And even with this blackout today and the coming days, I'm just once again, as I try to do, family, I accentuate the positive, I do, but also I keep it real. The success for this will be, you know, let's keep it real. The success for this blackout may not be as good as we want it to be, but hey. Consumers are planning a one-day economic blackout today, the 28th. Here's what to know. Consumers are preparing for a 24-hour economic blackout on Friday, one of several blackouts planned by groups of commission of consumers and activists to protest what they call corporate greed, companies that have rolled back their diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, and Trump's efforts to eliminate federal programs like DEI programs since taking office. On Friday, these groups are encouraging consumers not to spend any money anywhere for one day. If they have to spend, they are encouraged to buy from local businesses. Why do organizers seek a spending blackout? And I know it says boycott. I ain't going to use boycott. The organizers of the blackout goes by the one called Ja on Instagram. But his real name is John Schwartz. He told USA Today he started the bold idea because the time was right and people are frustrated in what he called corporate greed and other frustrations. The one-day action. Let me get this. Okay, here we go. The one-day action has been expanded by the People's Union, the organization Schwartz started. It includes blackouts of various companies and retailers during different time periods, including Amazon, March 7th through the 14th, Nestle's, March 21st through the 28th, Walmart, April 7th through the 14th, and a second broader one-day economic blackout on April 18th. Do blackouts work? Conservative activists have successfully rallied in recent years to force retailers and companies to rein in their diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts by staging blackouts, or no, boycotts. These conservative activists, blackouts. No, they got boycotts to hurt sales. Professors have told USA Today that blackouts can be successful in shaming a company into reversing decisions or taking action, but they don't always work. You're right. They don't. They don't always work. There needs to be a clear action outline. There needs to be a clear actions outline, they say. But consumers do like being able to take action against something they feel strongly about. Friday's blackout is one of several. A national blackout of Target starts February 1st to coincide with American African History Month. It was launched by civil rights activists in Minneapolis. And of course, in Minneapolis is where Target is located. Upset that Target has rolled back its DEI programs, another blackout that lasts through the end of the year was outlined on Instagram by comedian and activist Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones says, it encouraged consumers to buy directly from American African-owned businesses and outlines planned protests in certain months against Amazon, Target, and Walmart. Amazon is losing millions as shoppers cancel Prime. They cancel a lot of Prime over this. The faith community also plans a 40-day fast or blackout of Target because of its retreat from DEI initiatives starting March 5th. A website, targetfast.org, has been created with more information. targetfast.org. The Latino community has also been active on social media using the hashtag LatinoFreeze, encouraging supporters to hold your money amidst freezes on DEI initiatives, reducing funding for the National Institutes of Health and actions on immigration. Consumers are blacking out major retailers. Here's what they plan for a blackout on the 28th. The movement encourages Latino Americans to shop only for essentials and to be thoughtful enough about where to buy, with a focus on supporting Latino America, American Africans, and allied American businesses that are supportive of this movement. The Reverend Al Sharpton and the National Action Network also has held a few blackouts to bring supporters to Costco and to spend in support of their company's board of directors, which voted down an effort to drop DEI. So go to Costco's. The National Action Network also said in a news release that it would lead a strategic blackout in the next 90 days of two companies that have dropped their DEI commitments amid public pressure. No details have been released. Okay, now that's it for that. Now I got, because my lady, she sent me, my dear, sent me a lot of good stuff, so I'm going to get off into that. Since we got a few minutes before we take a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to take your calls at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Yeah. And so the blackout starts at midnight today, and it ends at midnight tonight. So it's a full 24-hour blackout. Do not make any purchases. Do not shop online or in stores. No Amazon, no Walmart, no Best Buy, nowhere. Do not spend money on fast food, gas, major retailers. Do not use credit cards or debit cards for non-essential spending. What you can do? Only buy essentials if absolutely necessary. Food, medicine, emergency supplies, whatever. If you must spend, only support small businesses and local businesses. Spread the message, talk about it, post it, and document your actions that day. Why this matters? Corporations and banks only care about their bottom line. If we disrupt the economy for just one day, it sends a powerful message. If they don't listen, they won't. We make the next blackout even longer, and then they will. Yeah. So, February 28th, today, total economic blackout. March 17th to the 14th, the Amazon blackout. March 21st to the 28th, Nestle's. And then April 18th, another one-day total blackout. April 21st to the 28th, General Mills. Yeah, General Mills blackout. Today is the day, family. Got a bunch of it. So not to be redundant, but you get it. Before we go to break, here's something unique she sent me about we're elders and and let me say this. Just like people call me Baba, I didn't call myself Baba. Baba is a title that is given, that is earned. Elder is also a title that is given, that is earned. You may, if you listen to this program, like may have heard me mention an elder who is an esteemed elder. That means that elder is highly regarded for what that elder he or she has done and continues to do even as they're older. Well, of course, my esteemed elder here in the Atlanta area is Barbara Moriba Kelsey, who will be 100 years old, strong. I can't wait to celebrate. I cannot wait. He is truly an esteemed elder. And there are other elders in our community, other babas and nanas. But they earn that. You don't give that to you. You earned it. And the people give it to you because of who you are. But there are people, you know, some people are just old. You know, elder, he's older. But here, this piece here is cute. They call us the elderly. The elderly. We were born in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. We grew up in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. The decade you were born in, the next decade is when you grow up. I was born in the early 50s. I grew up in the 60s. I grew up in the 60s. Know the 60s well. We studied in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. We were dating in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We discovered the world in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We ventured into the 80s and 90s. We stabilized in the 2000s. We got wiser in the 2010s. And we're going firmly through and beyond the 2020s. Turns out we lived through 8 different decades, 2 different centuries, 2 different millenniums. We have gone from the telephone with the operator for long distance calls. Sure enough, remember that. To video calls to anywhere in the world. That's right. On WhatsApp, I talk to brothers and sisters from Africa and other parts of the world all the time, even on video. We've gone from slides to YouTube, from vinyl records to online music, from handwritten letters to email and WhatsApp. From live matches on radio, yeah. I heard Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston in the first fight on radio. Yep. And many other fights on radio. And now you can see him on TV. In fact, there's a fight coming up. I think it's tomorrow. Tank Davis, Javonte Davis. Yeah, he's the man. We've gone from slides to YouTube, from vinyl records to online music, from handwritten letters to emails and WhatsApp, from live matches on radio to black and white TV, color TV, and then 3D HD TV. We went to the video store, and now we watch Blockbuster. We went to the video store, Blockbuster, and now we watch Netflix. We got to know the first computers, punch cards, floppy disk, and now we have gigabytes and megabytes on our smartphones. On your hand, the phone in your hand is a computer. Do it all. We wrote shorts throughout our childhood. We wore shorts throughout our childhood, and then long trousers, Oxfords, flares, shell suits and blue jeans, bell bottoms. We dodged infant paralysis. We dodged infantile paralysis, meningitis, polio, tuberculosis, swine flu, and now COVID-19. I never forget as a kid, polio was pretty big. And there was a commercial. They used to scare me. They had a marionette, you know the marionette, a puppet. And it was a shadow. And in the shadow, you know, you talked about it, and a pair of scissors would come along and cut off its leg and cut off its arm and as it dangled. Because what it was saying, of course, was how polio afflicts you. Polio strikes. Yeah. We rode tricycles, bicycles, on skates, mopeds, pedaled or diesel cars, and now we drive hybrids and electric cars. Yes, we've been through a lot, but what a great life we've had. They could describe us as existentials, people who were born in that world of the 50s, who had an analog childhood and a digital adulthood. What kind of see it all, our generation? We've kind of seen it all. Our generation has literally lived through the and witnessed more than any other dimensions of life, and we have. It is our generation that has literally adopted to change. A big round of applause to all the members of a very special generation, which will be unique. Ashe. Ashe, family. For all of us. But one thing, I think that we also have a me generation. We live in a generation, came from a generation that perpetuates, in particular because it was American society, that perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed and violence. And it's been very difficult for us to come together to do stuff for ourselves. So we're going to take a break, family. When we come back from the break, I want you to give us a call. You know? So just hold on. We're going to be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on Time for an Awakening.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
When I think about music, yeah. keeping my love on track, baby.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah, brother. Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty Reed, good brother. Here's a piece I got from another good brother, sent to me. And I read it, and I'm saying, I think I'm going to read this to y'all. But the phone lines are open. Yeah, and you can give us a call at 215-490-9832. And for those in the queue, you hit star twice. But let me go ahead and read this particular piece. It's not long, but it's long. Yeah. It comes from a speechwriter, from Michael Gerson, who was Bush's speechwriter. So, you know, he's, I guess, a Republican. And he has a message for the people who are excusing Trump's racism. Yeah, excusing Trump's racism. I have fully intended to ignore Trump's latest round of racially charged taunts against an African-American elected official, or an American African activist, an American African journalist, and a whole city with a lot of American Africans in it. I had every intention of walking past Trump's latest outrages and writing about self-destructive squabbling of the Democratic presidential field, which has chosen to shame former Vice President Joe Biden for the sin of being electable moderate liberal. This was actually in 2000. Moderate liberal, but it's applicable even today. But I made the mistake of pulling James Cone's, and you know James Cone, the author and very religious, right, Christian author, The Cross and the Lynching Tree, off of my shelf. He pulled Cone's book, The Cross and the Lynching Tree, off the shelf, a book designed to shatter convenient complacency. Cone recounts the case of a Caucasian mob, a Yorugu mob in Valdosta, Georgia, in 1918 that lynched an innocent man named Haynes Turner. Turner's enraged wife, Mary, promised justice for her, for the killers. The sheriff responded by arresting her and turning her over to the mob, which included women and children. According to one source, Mary was stripped, hung upside down by the ankles, soaked with gasoline, and roasted to death. In the midst of this torment, a Yerugu opened her swollen belly with a hunting knife, and her infant fell to the ground, and he stomped it to death. God help us. It's hard to write the words. This evil, the evil of white supremacy resulting in dehumanization, inhumanity, and murder, is the worst stain, the greatest crime of U.S. history. It is the thing that nearly broke this nation. It is the thing that proved generations of Christians to be vicious hypocrites. It is the thing that turned normal people into moral monsters, capable of burning a grieving widow to death and killing her unborn child. When the President of the United States plays with that kind of fire or takes their breast out for, and takes their beast out for a walk, it is not just another political event, not just a normal day in the campaign of either 2020 or 2024. It is a cause for shame. It is the violation of the martyrs' graves. It is obscene graffiti on the Lincoln Memorial. It is the eyes of history, the betrayal, the re-betrayal of Haynes and Mary Turner and their child. And all that is being done by the arrogant and by the ignorant and arrogant narcissistic reviving racist tropes for political gain, indifference to the wreckage he is leaving, the wounds he is ripping open. Like I suspect many others, I'm finding it hard to look at resurgent racism as just one in a series of presidential offenses or another in a series of Republican errors. Racism is not just another wrong. The Antietam battlefield is not just another plot of ground. The Edmund Pettus Bridge, who we just mentioned earlier, is not just another bridge on Bloody Sunday. The balcony outside room 306 at the Lorraine Motel is not just another balcony. As U.S. history hollows some causes, it magnifies some crimes. What does all this mean politically? It means that Trump's divisiveness is getting worse, not better. He wrote this in 4 years ago. It is getting worse, not better. He makes racist comments, appeals to racist sentiments, and inflames racist passions. The realization, the rationalization that he is not, deep down in his heart, really a racist is meaningless. Trump's continued offenses mean that a large portion of his political base is energized by racist tropes and the language of white grievance. And it means, whatever their intent, that those who play down or excuse or try to walk past these offenses are enablers. Some political choices are not just stupid or crude. They represent the return of this country's cruelest, most dangerous passion. Such racism indicts Trump. Treating racism as a typical or minor matter indicts us all. Michael Gerson. Trump. Yeah. Donald J. Trump. What an asshole. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. Hey, my brother Irv. Good afternoon, my friend, my dear brother.
Brother Oshie.
What's happening, man?
Brother Oshie.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, brother, I just that piece you just read was just amazing. Brother Oshie, was he put it right there where you can understand it and make, and you don't have to. In other words, when someone says something and you you start thinking about something else, mm-hmm. that piece is inspiring you. I don't have to tell our listeners that, because we have some very educated listeners.
No doubt. No doubt.
But we don't have to tell. But the thing is, it made me think of so many other things, but it also made me say exactly what everyone else is saying. I already know that, man. I already know that. Well, we do know that.
Yeah.
But when you don't articulate that, mm-hmm. when you don't say it out loud, and I always wondered why most of these brainwashings and have you chanting things. You know, you keep chanting it over and over again, over and over again, and that's
right.
And that's how we believe something. I guess that helps you mm-hmm. to believe it. But when I hear you speak like you just spoke with that brother wrote, man, it made it so much more clear. We already know that we're living with a psychopath. We already know the mental side is real. Mm-hmm. We already know that the history of the people we live with, even though they don't want us to know our history. And that's what this, to me, Baba Oshie, it all comes back to history, because history is current events.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, we don't do things just because we made it up. Everything is nothing new under the sun. Everything you've done to us has been done before. I was watching last night a documentary put together by white folks on PBS about the Huey Newton and the Panthers, and they try their best to entertain us by showing mm-hmm. us the dogs biting people and people mm-hmm. Defying racism, white supremacy. And that's supposed to be entertainment, I guess. I don't know. It to be on TV is fantastic, but this needs to be taught in the school, in the front of the school. But the thing is, if you're not teaching your children, someone else is teaching them, and mm-hmm. someone else is going to teach them what they want them to know. And that leads me to a video that I saw with the brother Floyd Mayweather, mm-hmm. who comes across as well-dressed, well-groomed, and when he opens his mouth, he sounds like a complete
idiot. A complete man. I mean, I know he was a very good defensive fighter, so he didn't take a lot of punishment, but it seems like he did, because he's stupid, man. Money Mayweather. Man, he said some shit this recently. I was like, man.
Oh, my gosh. It was just so. What he said was just so. The word may be profound. You know, it was just interesting to hear him speak this with all the conviction of a Baptist preacher on Sunday morning, because I know that's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't got to listen. That's how he sounded to me. Like he was in a trance, because no way in the world could a man who, even if you don't read history, you know some things that have happened to mm-hmm. American Africans in this country.
Right.
Just by the way we move. Something happens. I mean, it's why aren't you more melting into this culture as everyone else appears to be melting into this culture? In other words, other ethnicities appear to be getting along fine with Caucasians. And we, for some reason, there's something about black people and white people, not just the appearance, Baba Oshie, but you can, for me, I can see it. I can see mm-hmm. the uncomfortability. I can see the cohesiveness that's not there when you see these blended families or mixed. I looked at Kamala and her Jewish husband
mm-hmm.
standing up there. He looked so uncomfortable. And she looks like she is trying to get her point across, to the point that she will become anything she has to be. Do I need to eat chicken today? Or do I need to eat some collard greens, put collard greens in my bathtub? What do I have to do mm-hmm. to get you to put me in a position where my fellow white people will continue to love me? Because I already done married a white man. What else you want me to do? I can't have children. That train left the station a long time ago. So the point I'm making is, there's something in this country between white people and American Africans that is unspoken, and when we do speak of it, we have to go to the extreme. I'm looking at TV on PBS, and I'm watching Huey Newton. I'm watching the Black Panthers, and they're acting as if these people were stars, and celebrities. In actuality, these people were considered terrorists.
That's right.
They were going against everything right. that white people are. Come on, they weren't nothing mm-hmm. to put on television and teach your children about. These people were tearing down the United States government, according to them, because they had a messiah. And once you get a messiah, you'll do anything. And you can look at Islam and see that. Once you have someone you believe is God, then you're going to do anything for that person. And that's what these white people thought of the Panthers. But they act as if they were rock stars on this PBS series because the Panthers this and everything they said was right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the things still exist, Baba Oshie. I still get nervous when I'm pulled over by the police officer, which I call a slave catcher, and they take me. And I still believe that going to work is similar to a plantation. And I still believe that slavery was hostages. It wasn't just taking slaves. You were holding us hostage. And for generations until you wiped that Africa out of our brain. Mm-hmm. Now, the average person, average American African doesn't even say Africa. In the course of 24 hours, they don't even say the word Africa. They don't believe they have a homeland. They believe this is their homeland. They start calling themselves foundational, all kind of foolishness.
Mm.
You're African. Africa's in you. And I say it every time I get on this air. If you're not in Africa, Africa's in you. Whether you want to realize it or not, you're African. And we are, and we're not, and like the guy said, don't run from the hood. Go back by the hood. Fix the hood up. And like the one girl said on the internet, and I'm going to stop after this, she said something that was so profound. He said, You American Africans want to run around, and she didn't use American Africans, want to run around and boycott Target and Walmart. Mm-hmm. She said, why don't you boycott them Arabs and them Chinese, them Koreans that's in your neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you boycott them? Mm-hmm. Why don't you start at home? When I was a big time Baptist, they said, man, start with your family. When you want to brainwash somebody else in this religion, start with the people next to you. Don't run all the way over to Walmart. Go right in this neighborhood store that you go to and buy that roll of toilet paper and them six eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Start boycotting that, but you're not going to do that because we don't have stores. We don't have institutions. We can't go to the black hospital. We can't go to the black bank because there's a banking is centralized in this country. That's why you have the Federal Reserve. But the thing is, we don't have those institutions that are needed for us to go to. A Jew can go to a Jewish school.
Mm-hmm.
A Christian go to a Christian school. But can I go to an African school that's African-centered? There are some, few and far between, but there are some.
Right.
So no, brother, until we get those institutions, stop talking about a boycott. You're not gonna stop Target, and you're going to keep buying stuff. Or, you know, well, Target got black people stuff in there. Well, you know, like I said before, when Mussolini was in power, the trains ran on time. So let that marinate. Anyway.
Still. Well, I'm going to play something. I'm going to play something that explains to where these stores are and also to some alternatives, mm-hmm. particularly with Target, since these people, you know, I think I agree with you. I'm not a big proponent of blackouts or boycotts,
right.
you know,
no.
because in
no,
order
no.
for them to truly work, you know, it has to be like 1955. The Montgomery bus boycott.
Bus boycott.
They were mm-hmm. serious. They were mm-hmm. serious because mm-hmm. they understood that in Montgomery, Alabama, they didn't want your ass really on the bus. And if you got on the bus, I want you back in the back of the bus. And so when Sister sat down, you know, when she sat down, she was in mm-hmm. the back of the bus. But when the bus fills up, you got to give up your seat to the Caucasian. And so they can sit down even in the back of the bus. So even though we were designated, that's our area. So the whole front of the bus could be empty. But your ass better walk to the back and sit your ass down. You know? So when Rosa Parks chose to sit down, you know, now there's other discrepancies. Some say that she intentionally sat in the front. I don't know if she did or not. The bottom line is that they made a determination that we're going to stop this madness. We're not. That's we're going to boycott it. And so they got together and they blacked out. There was a blackout. on the bus.
That's right.
And even some of the Caucasians who had sisters working for them. And I understand that the bottom line is, shit, I don't want to clean this house up. Let me get that black woman over there or that Negro to come clean this up. So I'm going to go pick her up and some more folks, you know.
mm-hmm.
And, of course, yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, there was a car company that sent some cars down to Montgomery to assist, you know, in the efforts. And, of course, it lasted over a year, over a whole year, till they finally said, this is crazy. We've lost a lot of money, you know, and this is stupid, so we're going to end this finally. But that's what has to happen. So that was a community. That was a city in Alabama that did that. But we're calling something even deeper in this blackout because it's countrywide, nationwide.
And it's
not going to be effective, really. You know, we might say it's going to be, you know, and I'm announcing it and so forth. But the reality of it is, you know, number one, the commercial networks are not going to pick it up. They're not going to promote it. They're not going to talk about it.
No. No.
You know.
No.
Because
the part that gets me, Bob Oshie, how are you going to boycott something and but you driving up in your Tesla? This is the same guy that took, this is the same people company that took your job.
Yeah.
Your federal job. So you driving up in your Tesla telling about you fighting the system, but you just bought a car from the same people that have taken your employment.
Yeah.
And Bob Oshie, back then, it was terrible to be, you didn't want to be the one sitting on the bus. You didn't want to be Floyd Mayweather.
Right.
You know, you didn't want to be everybody look at you.
Yeah. Look at you with the side eye.
On the bus.
Yeah, with this Negro. Yeah, his love for Trump was sickening to me. When I saw that, it was
past sickening, Bob Oshie. It was it seemed demonic to me. And I don't use that word lightly. It seemed demonic because he was, I truly believed what he said. He said, Trump ain't bad. He's the best president we've ever had. And he said it slowly.
Yeah.
He didn't raise his voice. He wasn't sweating. He was calm. And he was not trying to get excited. I said, this brother really, but he's the same brother that sent some supplies and food over to Israel in a private plane, from what I understand. From what I understand, he sent food and stuff over to the Israel, to the Jews. And he wanted to make sure that people... Now, why do I know that? He didn't call me and tell me that. He wanted me to know that. And so he used the media, which white folks have, to do that. And that's the disadvantage we have.
Right.
We don't have a communication system. We don't have the national broadcasting system. And we need that.
No,
because
that's
independent. Because we have to communicate, Robert Ocean.
Right. Right.
We have to communicate. We have to be able to speak without someone listening, without someone monitoring, or you got always going to have the mole. So all you got to do is say it. He'll run back and tell Massa, you know what they're doing now over there in Milwaukee. You know? That's how they talk when they're telling them, when they sit. Because they want them biscuits. They want them butter biscuits. And the biscuits, I say that, but what I really mean by that is they want opportunity. They see opportunity in Arugu. But the psychological piece, Baba Oshie, real quick, and I'm going to let everybody else talk. The psychological piece is they didn't ride the buses because they didn't have the money, because they knew that the mind was what was enslaved. That's the only way I can get to work. I got to feed my family. No, that's not the only way you can get to work. Mm-hmm. We're more creative than that. We're sitting here making white people money. Why can't we make money for ourselves? The boy said on the thing, he said, 20 years ago, you were marching for jobs and justice. He said, 20-year anniversary from the march, you were still marching for jobs and justice. He said, today, you're marching for jobs and justice. He said, why? This is the Farrakhan said this. He said, so why can't you, why are you asking somebody to do something for you that you can do for yourself? If you can go to work for 20 years and make a white man all this money working at the factory or working here, why can't you have a factory? Why can't you get together with some folk? And this is where the communications come in. and get some, get with some folks and plant that seed. I won't see it, Baboshi, and I know I won't. I'm up in age now. I know I'm not going to see it. But plant the seed like the white folks planted the seed for their children
right.
and their children's children.
Well,
so we don't have to.
Well, that's the same thing I mentioned in the Inya Sasim, in Baba Baruti's narrative, talking about the nation building concept that, you know, it has to be done in a way that it is solidified towards the end goal. So we can't be all flamboyant and all ostentatious and talking about this, that, and the other. We got to do this in, you know, in a stealth mode, you know.
Right.
So right. we can see it. So that means that, no, if we're laying the foundation now for it, well, no, we won't see the fruition of it, but we'll see the progress of it, I hope. And that's the thing that, to me, is encouraging. Has my days are, you know, more days behind me than I have ahead of me. And so, but the thing is, I want to realize it. And what you said to me some time ago, that is happening on the continent with, you know, Brother Traore, you know.
Yes.
Raheem Traore yes. is happening. It's happening with other countries.
No,
it's happening.
Bob, when you talk about building a tomato plant, a nuclear plant for energy, these things, the tomato plant is built. They have the first thing they did was defend themselves. They got guns. They got tanks.
Yeah,
they got
you
an
got
air
to.
Force.
You got to defend yep. yourselves. You know, and let me say this, brother. I'm not naive, but thinking mm-hmm. that this is ours. This is Africa. This is ours. We never went somewhere and took people's shit. That's not who we are. Wherever we went to, we shared. Wherever we went
right.
to, we helped. This is ours. The Caucasian, the European, the cracker, Yorugu, he is that. That's who he is. And so we understand that we know that we have to defend ourselves against that. Because even though they came here, just like in South Africa, they mm-hmm. saying no. You know, and I'm saying, no, it's African. I don't give a damn if you bought something from the South African, illegitimate South African government. No, it don't mean a damn thing. Your ass got to go. Go
right.
petition to them to get your money back if that's the case. But you're leaving here because this is ours. There's nowhere in the damn world that we can go to and stake a claim and then tell the people of that country, this is ours and you can't come in here. This is ours. Mm-hmm. What? This is crazy.
That doesn't make sense.
And listen. What should happen is the international community should say, yes, Africa is the home of black people, of African people, and that is theirs. Get your ass back to Europe, wherever the hell you came from in Europe, whether it was this, that, or the other. But no, to make the planet right, get your ass out. It should happen that way. I know it may not, but that's why we have to fight for it. We have to defend it. This is crazy,
yeah.
man.
Mm-hmm. And wait, Baba Oshie, really quickly, to sit here and to see, they just fired, he just fired the only black, what is it?
Joint Chiefs of Staff?
The military guy.
Yeah, Joint Chiefs of Staff.
The military cat?
Yep, the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Yeah, Joint Chiefs of Staff. They fired him. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't tell me this guy's got five stripes on his shoulder, five stars on his shoulder. He's a career military brother. He knows more about military than I probably mm-hmm. forgot more about what I know. But you can't tell me he doesn't understand that the IMF is giving lopsided deals to Africa for years. You can't tell me he doesn't see the neo-colonialism that's going on in the country of Africa. You can't mm-hmm. tell me he doesn't realize that the reason there's 700 or more bases, United States bases all over the world, is because they're policing and stealing. They're
right.
stealing
right.
resources. And how do they do it? They don't do it like France is still doing the old way. We just gonna beat it out of you and take your stuff. It ain't them days over with, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Them days over with.
Yeah.
Because we will kill
yeah.
ourselves trying to keep you from killing
that's
us.
That's right.
And see, the only thing that white people fear is if they fear a person who doesn't fear death. If you notice, this country is the only country that dropped a bomb on another country.
Mm-hmm.
A nuclear bomb,
right.
atomic bomb on another country. Because when you see a person who takes an airplane and flies it into an aircraft carrier, and he said bye to his family before he did it,
mm-hmm.
that's a man to be feared
yeah.
because he doesn't fear death.
Yeah.
So once you don't fear death, the only thing that stopped, they feared black people was, we're going to lock you up and put you in an electric chair. And then when black people weren't scared to go to jail, they had to find another way to do this. You had to find another way, because them brothers that I saw last night with Huey Newton, they were expecting to die.
Right.
They did not. I said, are you serious? These are teenagers. Yeah. They were expecting to die for what they believed in, because Huey had them brothers so educated, so dedicated to this cause that they didn't see no other way to live. Mm-hmm. It was no going back. We're not going to go back to looking at the ground when a white person walks by. We're not going to. And so what they did, they changed, is slavery under another name. They changed the colonialism to neocolonialism. Like in this country, they took the racism and they put it undercover, but it's still there.
Always.
And every now and then it's here, peeks out. And it looks like Donald Trump. It looks like Biden. It looks like police. So the reality is it's still here.
Yeah.
It just looks different because I can feel it. I can feel that racism. When I was working Baba Oshie, I would come in and they would look at me and say, what's wrong, man? Little did they know, you're what's wrong. Because you're acting like you don't see this.
Yeah.
You act like we got a whole executive staff in the fire department. All the chiefs come out and all of them white men.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that? You think I'm just stupid? You call me smart every day. Well, you really know that, Irv. I can drive that ladder truck. I can do all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But why ain't we got no black people running this place?
Yeah.
Are they that smart? Are they that much more advanced than we are? So the reality is, Baba Oshie, our eyes are open now. We see, and I like to end on a positive note whenever I speak on this radio, because we have already won. It's the only people we have to convince that we've won is us. We're the ones that don't believe we've won. We're the ones that keep asking for the crumbs from the table. Joy Reid on TV, a gatekeeper. Okay, Joy, you got to fight the way you want to fight this thing. But you're crying because of you lost a job, and I'm supposed to cry for you, and you got $4 million in the bank? Ain't that what you doing this for? Ain't you doing this for money? Or are you doing this for the people? Because King died with nothing in his bank account. Huh? And he gave the ultimate. Yeah. Malcolm X didn't have a bunch of money in his bank account, but he said things that he knew was going to piss off Caucasians and Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was trying to live a truthful life, an honest life. And I get that, Baba Oshie. But, you know, I think what we're doing here on the African Perspectives is very much needed. I think that it's making an impact. I think what happens with people and how we learn as a people is word of mouth, brother.
Yeah.
Each one teach one. And I tell somebody about this every day. You can tune in. If you can't, I'll tell you what was said on the show.
Or just when you got time, go to the archives. Timeforanawakening.com. When you get there, click on podcast programs. There'll be a drop down. African Perspectives. Mm-hmm. Click on that. And then you go through whatever title that you want to get or something you heard about. Click on that, and then there it is. Appreciate it, man.
There it is.
All right, brother.
But brother, get somebody else. Bravo, Oshie.
Okay.
I love you, man. Thanks.
Love you too, dear brother. Love you too.
I'll call you later.
Peace. Right. Mama Nabantu, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Mama Nabantu.
Yes, just wanted to let you know that I'm waiting to get a response from Richard Jordan, who is one of the administrators at New Black Wall Street, to set a date for April for the town hall meeting.
Okay. Okay, for April? Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know if you were on the call that you decided to spend more time planning and trying to market it and get it.
Good.
Flyer together.
Okay.
And we're going to be meeting not tomorrow, but the next Saturday to try to finalize our strategy.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Great. All right. So, I talked about the New Black Wall Street because I went to a store, it's Jamaican that owns the store. Jamaican African that owns the store, and it's over on Washington Street, Black Supermarket. And I'm quite sure when I saw the promotion of it, it looked great. But when I went there yesterday, it just hurt my heart. You know, a lot of empty shelves and empty sections, the cases. And
where
so
was
forth. On Washington Street, off of DeLow. On Washington Street, off of DeLow. It used to be a drugstore. It used to be like, I think, ShopRite, Rite Aid, I think it was. But anyway, yeah. And what I'm saying here is that in Milwaukee, there was a shopping area that we built back in the late 60s, early 70s. And it had a Motor Lodge that was independent, or, you know, a motel. And it had a major building of administration, and it housed a nightclub, a bowling alley, and stuff like that. And then in another separate building, it had a liquor store. And all those things failed. Yes, even the liquor store, they failed. I seen that shopping because I've always felt good about being who I am, about being African, and so I shopped there at the supermarket. And I seen that thing go down from half of it to a quarter of it, to an eighth of it until it finally closed, and the whole thing closed. The main building, the Masons got that building, and the NAACP, we had an office there when I was vice president of the NAACP at that time, back in the early 80s, and the Motor Lodge, the Salvation Army, got that, and the liquor store was holding on until it failed. And the reason why it came to prominence, because it was designed by a brother who I know, who's a former police officer, Kim Robinson, and his father was a designer. His father also is the architect of the main headquarters of the Milwaukee Fire Department. So they want to save that, because what the Salvation Army wants to take that building, the old liquor store, and tear it down to expand, the ability to house more people, which of course is necessary, But the reality is that it is, And so I'm saying this in reference to the New Black Wall Street, because I went there when it first opened, and I had a lot of pride once again, and fever, felt good about it. And I'm seeing the same kind of situation, where you see a lot of the stores have to close because the overhead, and then they ain't making no money because we're not going there. Mama Nabantu, I know you understand, and you know the mental side that our people experience, because we've been dealing with this shit for decades of trying to impress upon our people the way that we must go as a people. But when you're in an environment that perpetuates individualism, so no, I don't give a damn about black people, about those black. I got my own mind. I can do my own thing. No, I don't want to shop there. I'm shopping over. So we don't have that collect. That's just like what this. That's why this boycott won't be successful. We'll do it anyway. We'll talk about it, but it won't be successful. I just mentioned talking with Brother Irv. I don't know if you heard that. Why the Montgomery boycott was successful. Because it was successful because everybody participated. They didn't ride the bus. And your ass better not, as a American African, get caught on the bus. Mm-hmm. So it that's the reality of it. But we must do it anyway, So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to having the meeting. I definitely will be there, okay?
And all right. We'll let you know the exact date. He's just texting me, said he'll be getting back to me shortly.
Okay. All right, Mama Nabantu. Mm-hmm. Peace.
All right. Peace.
Sister Haiba.
Yes, greetings. How are you?
Sister Haiba, I called on you the other day about four times. I sure did.
Where? What?
Yeah, you had called in, but I guess you just left us.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
that's okay, my sister. Part. That's all right.
Yeah, I appreciate it, but I can't hear.
Yeah.
And so much. Mama about to call in, and she and I share that we have that we feel that the Black Wall Street is still happening.
Oh yeah. Listen, sister, I know you. You always speak on the positive side. You always encouraging, and I appreciate that. Even though, because I know I say some things on this program, and some of our listeners and callers will say some things, that may, spell doom and gloom. but you're always taking a positive side, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, they're doing some positive things. They even have a nice jazz club up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have our banquet, Malcolm X banquet there. And so it does a lot of good things. Musiki Scales performs there. And you all are doing great things, like with Kwanzaa and other programs. And Mama
right.
Nabantu has
right.
all kind of great things happening.
Yes, she does.
So we do things happening, and we really mm-hmm. have to, continue to support it and rise it. And I wanted to just mention that there is a black store, it's called Fruits and Veggies.
Where's that located?
Where's
that located?
2085 Campbellton Road.
Oh, okay. That's near
Atlanta.
Me. Yeah.
Baba Barute and Mama Yaya, I always see them there. They support it. We be shopping in there.
Okay.
The Africans there.
2085 Campbellton Road. Okay.
Yeah, because they got fruits, they got veggies, they got smoothies, they got all type of supplies that you need, soaps, you name it. They're really great, and we just need to support them. So I just wanted to give a shout out.
Thank you.
To them.
Thank you. I'll be going
so
over
far,
there.
Yes, right in the community.
Mm-hmm.
We're just gonna keep rising. And so far as the boycott is concerned, I feel it can work. I mean, because if you're not going to Walmart, if you feel it's not going to work, does that mean you're going to just keep going into Walmart and Target? I think that we should not go there, and a lot of people are not going there. And I wanted to give a shout out to Brother Jamal Bryant.
Okay.
He's a fiery.
Oh, the preacher.
Pardon me?
Preacher,
he is a fiery brother.
Yeah.
I really like him. And, you know, I was saying he reminded me of Martin Luther King. Somebody said, why would you say that? Just in terms of the fact that they were both ministers, they were both young men. Like Jamal Bryant is 43, I think Martin Luther King lived to 39.
Right.
They're fiery. He does a lot of great things. Like they're building homes for people in the community. Mm-hmm. So they get their homes. He has food drives. He gives scholarships out to students.
Mm-hmm.
They sent money to all the Africans in Pasadena. Pasadena, where they had the fire.
Oh, they had the fire. Where they had the fire, not Pasadena, but
Altadena.
Altadena.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thousands of supplies
mm-hmm.
and money, and he gives a lot of uplifting and support to people. I mean, he prays with them and helps them. With that, and so I really respect him for that, and I really like him. He can African ideals a lot. Mm-hmm. He has a beautiful black wife, mm-hmm. and so he was spearheading this boycott Target, and I think it can work. The way they set it up was that they decided to do March 5th, and there was concern about the black black patrons there. You know, they sell things there,
right?
And so then they've been working out
right.
Something
in
so
fact,
that
let me cut you. I apologize, but let me cut you off because I want to play this particular piece because just as you mentioned, these are some of the products that you can purchase at Target by not going there because they do have some American African vendors. You know.
Right. He listed a whole nationwide thing for people where you can go to where the black vendors are, and the vendors can
right.
So
let me
places and the people would know. So.
Since I'm almost out of time, let me play this particular piece and I'll get back. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, sister. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Aiba.
Yeah.
All right.
Joining the national boycott for Target, let me tell you how you can still support all the black-owned businesses that we used to support by shopping at Target. So make sure you save and share this video. Let's start with Gastro, a Bronx-born culinary collective. They are a flavor company that also sells kitchen appliances, and you can get their products at ghettogastro.com. Next up, we have Bevel, or Bevel. It's a beard company for hair care products for men. GetBevel.com is where you can get their products. The Lip Bar, a makeup brand. You can get their stuff at TheLipBar.com. Ben's Boys, they provide premium comfort food at Ben'sBoysFood.com. And Boys is spelled with a Z. Honey Pot, they offer plant-based female hygiene products. You can get their products at TheHoneyPot.co. Pair of Thieves is a men's line that sells underwear, socks, shirts, and loungewear. You can get their products at pairofthieves.com. Evolve, they sell silky hair scarves and headbands, satin pillowcases, bonnets, and more. You can get their products at firstlinebrands.com. Scotch Boys, 100% Jamaican-owned hot sauce brand. Scotchboys.com is where you can get it, and Boys is spelled with a Z. Good Foods, a family-owned company that sells canned beans and vegetables. They're gluten-free, non-GMO products. You can get their products at goodfoodsfamily.com, and good is spelled with an E. Supergut for gut health. Supergut.com is where you can get their products. Pipcorn, a healthy snack company. You can get their products at pipsnacks.com. Afro Unicorn is for kids. They sell unicorn t-shirts, bags, mugs, and more at afrounicorn.com. Housewhite is an apparel collection. Housewhite.com is where you can get their items. Thread Beauty is a makeup line. You can get their products at threadbeauty.com. Be Rooted, they sell stationery and gifts at berootedco.com. Little Muffin Cakes for babies and kids. They sell apparel and accessories. You can get their products at littlemuffincakes.com. Proudly Company, they sell baby care products, and it's co-founded by Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade. You can get their products at proudly.com. Mocktail Club, they provide non-alcoholic cocktails with quality organic and natural ingredients at mocktailclub.com. Black and Bold Coffee, they offer freshly roasted specialty coffees and loose leaf teas that can be delivered right to your door. Just visit blackandbold.com, and black is spelled B-L-K. A Dozen Cousins, they offer authentic meals and sides at adozencousins.com. I love that name. McBride Sister Wine is a wine company. Check them out at McBride Sisters.
There you go. And it's just some, probably some mo. But that's just a snippet of things that are happening. Let me catch another call before we go. We ain't got that much time. Jay, what's up? How you doing, Jay? Hello, Jay.
Hey, what's up, Oshie? You was pontificating for so long. I had to bust you. Hey, listen, are you participating in the boycott today?
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I just have one question. What's the end game, bro? What's the end game?
Let me tell you, Jay, you know what the end game is, to try to hurt these companies and to make these companies respect us. And that ain't going to happen. Yeah, am I participating? Yeah, I'll participate.
Okay.
I'm not delusional.
As long as you understand what the real deal is.
Yeah.
Because as far as I'm concerned, this ain't nothing more than a game for these so-called national organizations to get some money in their coffers. Mm-hmm. They're not really going to boycott and do anything that's going to hurt white folks. Do you realize and do you witness and see that right now white folks are hurting white folks more than they hurting black folks?
Have you seen these town hall meetings across this country where these folks are in an uproar?
No, I'm looking at earlier today the pictures in the video are these white folks leaving these federal offices and everything?
Yeah.
And you know the majority of them are white folks. So this is basically white on white crime with Negroes coming to defend them and not having a concrete plan on how they go survive.
Yeah, this is sad. This is some deep stuff.
And all in hopes that Negroes like Perm Daddy Al Sharpton, the Jamal Sweet Talking Bryant, and the rest of these Negroes could get some donations. And black people in the hole ain't got no plan to move forward or place themselves in the position to punish the one that's looking to hurt them.
Let me say this, because, you know, to me, I'm a Pan-Africanist. I'm African-centered. And so to me, the more we do for ourselves, the more we do with each other, the better I like it. Now, I understand that we're talking about boycotting. And usually that is to be a part of what you're boycotting. You're trying to make them, you know, accept you. I could give less than respect your dollars, you know.
Yes.
You know, but my contention is don't spend money with them, period. Not just in there a boycott, but build your own. Do for yourselves. And I just highlighted or lowlighted many of the things that we tried to do that failed, you know. And I mean, it is sad because across this country, things that were built in the late 60s into the 70s and 80s and so forth they're gone.
Not only have we taken it away for ourselves to integrate with this cracker, the cracker is now, because he's decided he needs to move forward in another direction, has taken it away from it, and in the process, he's taken away from his own. The sickle fins who voted for this devil are now getting punched in the mouth and getting mistreated. Yeah. And the thing that gets me is this is what pisses me off the most. You got one cracker making a decision for millions and millions of people that's not even from the country, and you let the mofo walk around on the planet. That's what's upset me the most. Yeah. You are never, as a nation, as a people, supposed to allow someone like Elon Musk to do what he's doing to your country and walk on the planet Earth. I don't understand why these white folks don't understand it. But I tell you this, they go get it soon. Because one of these white boys is going to sit down after he or a family member get hurt, and he going to figure out what's being done to him by this devil. And that devil going to get what's coming to him. Because it ain't no way in hell, this man, Elon Musk, is supposed to be ripping apart this country and hurt white folks the way that he is. He hurt white folks more than he hurt us. Because I done made more money, I'm telling you, in the last month than I made in the market last year. In the last month, I done made more money. It's crazy. I was like, I can't believe this shit. But the reality is,
you've invested wisely, my friend. You've invested wisely and astutely.
From this perspective, you don't allow someone like Elon Musk at the behoovings of a dirtbag like Donald Trump do to this country what they're doing to. Because I'll say this to you, and I'll be very clear. What he is doing could be done in a better fashion, to whereas it doesn't hurt all of these people.
Yeah, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the sad thing is that it's under the auspice that it's hurting people of color, but the reality is it's hurting white folks more than it's hurting us because we are a small percentage of the population.
Yeah.
And I don't think that those white folks that went along with this really, really understood what was going to happen. And now, as they say, you F around and find out. And they find it out. But somebody go wake up in a couple of weeks and handle the situation. Because he can't get away. He can't get away with it. It's just, you just got to wake up. That's all. Somebody just got to wake up and realize how they're getting hurt and destroyed by this. But listen, I'll say this in closing. What we have to do is come together, as one would say, and my great brother, the brother who gets it right all the time with the classic slogan, where the caskets at?
I'm Brother Ralph. All right.
Talk to you later.
All right. Peace. Have a good weekend, Jay.
You too, my brother.
All right. Yeah. Well, family, it, whatever you do, you know, that's always your conscience. Let your conscience be your guide. But obviously, we've seen what could happen when we come together and stick together and be committed to doing something. You know, I understand what's happening in this country, and I understand that they're trying to do something to change the dynamics, but it is what it is. So family, you have a good weekend. Spend some money with each other. That's what you're supposed to do all the time, not just this weekend, but all the time. Build each other up. All right, family. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. BB48 means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great and wonderful weekend. You be safe. And see you next week. Peace, family.
Great show, Bubba.